behind the scenes at Score North and 1500 ESPN have sports opinions.
So they want you to hear them.
It's the perfect digital sports soapbox to scratch that Minnesota sports itch. This is the Score North Taxi Squad.
We know the Minnesota Vikings are about to select a quarterback in the NFL draft, but just who exactly is that going to be? And how much are we going to have to pay to get him? Welcome into the Score North Taxi Squad, everyone. My name is Jason Stormer, joining along Artis Woods, Grant Wengstern, and making his triumphant return to the show, one of the original founding fathers of the program. Actually, if you go to episode one of the Taxi Squad, his voice is the very first one you hear. You might as well call him Aragorn because it is the return of the king. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Manny Hill.
Is it Return of the King or Return of the Prodigal Son? I don't know. What should we call it? I don't know.
You are the guest, sir. You can call yourself whatever you want.
Well, I'm excited to be back on with you guys, though. This is fun. I'm looking forward to this.
Yeah, man, it's been a while. Obviously, we got a whole lot going on with Minnesota sports. This thing called the NFL Draft is literally right around the corner. The Minnesota Vikings are about to find out who their quarterback of the future is going to be. And Grant, if you don't mind, could you hold up that jersey just a little bit that you're wearing right now? Because you are just dripping right now with some Anthony Edwards swag. Let's go. Wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. The Timberwolves are up 2-0 on the Phoenix Suns, everybody. I can't believe it. I didn't necessarily predict it, but here we are, and we're going to break it all down here on the Taxi Squad for you. But, gentlemen, otherwise, how you feeling today? Are you ready, finally, to have this resolution after all of the reckless speculation going on about who the next Vikings rookie quarterback will be? Are you guys just finally glad that pretty much we are on the precipice of finding out who this guy actually is?
I feel great, man. Happy to be here for another episode of Taxi Squad. Honestly, Manny, I hate to put the spotlight back on you, but, like, I just want to be like, I just got so many questions about the Vikings and about the Wolves. I have my own takes, obviously, but it's been so long since I've heard you speak on these things, and obviously it's so much going on. I almost want to just pitch everything to you and just sit back today and just watch greatness, you know? But I'm just happy to be here. I'm happy Manny's here. I'm obviously happy you guys are here, too, but I'm used to you guys. You guys are whatever. But, yeah, man, just excited for today's show, man. And excited about the draft, excited about the Wolves. What is there not to be excited about?
Right. Everything's fun right now.
Right. All right, fellas. So let's get into it. We got a lot of reckless speculation to comb through a little bit before we actually get into who we think the Vikings are actually going to take for their quarterback. And also, we can get into some speculation of who they also might take that isn't a quarterback as well. Yes, there are other positions of need for the Minnesota Vikings, even if it doesn't feel like it amongst the team and the fan base. But guys, honestly, it was just such a busy week. All the big heavy hitters among NFL insiders were pretty much saying so many different things. I'm going to try to go a little bit in chronological order here, but there is just so much to comb through. It started just a few days ago with the rumors coming from Jeremy Fowler that the Vikings are making phone calls into the top 10. Now, I think we kind of assume that the Vikings probably were doing this anyway, but this was some pretty definitive proof here that people, at least the NFL insiders, are getting word that this is what the Vikings could potentially be doing. But then the very next day, guys, we got some rumors that we might even try to be jumping into the top three. Now, that rumor was also parlayed along with the fact that the New York Giants might also be in competition to get into the top three. Boy, might look like they might be moving on from Daniel Jones. That was from Adam Schefter. And I believe also Peter Schrager parlayed that report as well, saying, yes, this is some pretty legitimate sourcing right now and that the Giants are in play here. Moving on to the next day, pretty much. Then all the Drake May speculation kind of started up, guys. So we've seen some reports saying that he kind of has the idea of where he's going to go. He's got a vibe of what teams he's going to go to. But also there have been some reports as well that, you know, the Vikings might be pretty aggressive in going after Drake May. All right, everybody just take a second to breathe a little bit. I know that was a lot, and that's not really everything else that's been going on. But guys, do you have a sense, just not even, I mean, we are almost less than 24 hours before the actual draft itself, based off the reports you guys have seen, based off the reports I just laid out a little bit to you, do you guys have any sense of direction whatsoever nearly 24 hours before the draft exactly of where the Vikings are going to go based off all the reports that are happening right now? Manny, why don't we start with you?
Well, I think it just depends on, I don't think there's any question that the Vikings are going to try and trade up. I mean, this is why they traded for that Houston pick, that 23rd pick in the draft. So they are going to try everything possible to move up to take, you know, I think Drake May seems like the guy that we're kind of, that there's that heavy rumor that they're really high on, the guy that they really, really want. But the fact of the matter is, even if you're trying to trade up, you've got to be able to find a partner that's willing to do that and willing to take what you're willing to give up. And if the Vikings can't get a deal done, I still think even if you end up having to reach for a guy at 11, I think you got to take him. And that means if you're going to take, if Michael Penix is there at 11 and you've got, obviously Caleb Williams will be off the board. He's going one to Chicago, and Daniels and May and McCarthy are all off the board, and Michael Penix or Bo Nix is that next guy up. You got to take him. Even if they might not otherwise be drafted that high, because the problem you have is you have the Broncos picking right behind you. Mm-hmm. And we're hearing the rumors about the Broncos and Bo Nix, which doesn't surprise me, because I remember watching Bo Nix and just thinking Sean Payton would just drool over this guy. He just has everything. Like, it just feels like Sean Payton looks at Bo Nix and sees his new Drew Brees. You know what I mean? It kind of feels like that. And maybe, I could be wrong on that, but still, you've got a situation where you've got two teams behind you, the Broncos at 12 and the Raiders at 13, who also need quarterbacks. So even if you feel like you're reaching for a guy like Bo Nix or Michael Penix Jr., you're going to have to do it, because otherwise one of those two teams is going to, or if not both, is going to take those guys. And then you're sitting at 23. And now there's nobody at that point. There's really nobody worth taking at 23, unless it's, what are we talking, Spencer Rattler? I mean, Spencer Rattler might not go to the third round. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
Even if you feel like, even if on most draft boards, draft analysts has Bo Nix as like the 30th best overall prospect, you might have to just reach for him and take him at 11, because you have to get out of this draft with a young quarterback that you're going to try and build on in your future.
I'm glad you bring that up, Manny, because there was also a report from Yahoo Sports' Charles Robinson that the Vikings would be, quote, comfortable with using a first-round pick on Bo Nix if the team's plans to trade up do not work on Thursday. So it would seem right now the contingency plan for the Vikings, if they aren't able to move up at least into the top 10 or get that guy in 11, would potentially be Bo Nix. And I haven't seen a whole lot more steam on Michael Penix. I don't really know if
what is the drawback with Penix. If Penix is there, they have to take Penix. That is my take. That's my guy in this draft.
At 11, absolutely.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think you have to. I'm not too high on Bo Nix. I've never been really high on Bo Nix. Penix is the guy to me.
Yeah.
I think he has potential to be, and it might sound crazy, he has potential to be the second best quarterback in this draft. Like, I see it. And then with the weapons that you have with the Vikings right now, I just think he fits in perfectly. And I think that's the type of player that JJ would want to re-sign and play with. So
Artis, but the only negative, quote unquote negatives with Michael Penix is, one is his age. He's 24, or he's going to be 24 when the season starts. And also, people have concerned about, the injury history. He's had two ACLs. He's had a shoulder situation. But this guy he's got the good size. He's about 6'3", about 220 pounds. His arm is ridiculous. This guy has an absolute cannon for an arm. And I don't want for people to make a big deal about his performance in the national championship game. Because he was fantastic in every other game that Washington played.
And he was basically playing an NFL roster in Michigan, too. Like, that was basically an NFL roster with all the draft picks they're going to have. I've heard, and I think this is pretty silly too, because you don't hear this at all with Tua or the Dolphins or Tyreek or Jalen Waddle having this issue at all. I hear a lot of people knocking Penix simply because he's a left-handed quarterback, and that some receivers kind of don't like how the rotation of the ball comes off a lefty thrower's hand.
He shouldn't be in the NFL.
I know, right? I think that's a very silly thing to nitpick. If you are a wide receiver and you're concerned about that kind of thing, I think you probably belong on the practice squad. But it's a legit thing that people are actually bringing up, that it could potentially throw off wide receivers' rhythm. But we got JJ, we got Jordan Addison, we got TJ Hockenson. I'm not really worried about our wide receivers dealing with any kind of issue. I think we got pros, and that's not going to be something.
Throw Justin Jefferson the football. Throw Justin Jefferson the football. That's all he cares about. Throw him the ball. And if it leads to wins, that's all Justin Jefferson cares about. He doesn't care if it's left-handed or if you're kicking it to him.
Right.
Get him the football, period.
Yeah. Who's your guy, Grant?
Well, you guys know how I've always felt this from day one about JJ. Not the biggest fan, but after watching a lot of film, I have to take back my statement that I think he's a little bit more polished than I would say that I had been leading into for the last few times that I've been on this show. But I think that May is going to be the guy. I think that there's a, you know, the fact that they brought in his quarterback coach or his high school coach. I mean, I don't think that Josh McCown, I think that there was a reason for that, you know, not saying that they know for sure, but I mean, you'd have to think that there's something tied to that.
Right.
I also, with some of the rumors, feel that there is a potential, and this may not be true, but some people have led to it, that they already have a deal potentially in place with the Patriots based on how things land.
Interesting.
And if that's the case,
it's Drake May.
You've heard that, and that's Drake May. You have to. I just think if you brought in McCown and you have that third pick, you're going to go May.
Yeah.
But I have to say that I'm going to take a little step back and eat some crow. Because McCarthy, after watching a lot of film and watching him,
you like what you see.
I like the way where he can place the ball. I like his vision, and I think that, you know, they brought up, you know, I always talked about how the second half of Penn State, no passes, but then again, I heard, you know, that was their backup coach and he was running the ball, being safe. You know, there are a lot of things that I have learned over the last few days, so I have to give JJ McCarthy the credit that he deserves. But I think it's going to be May, and I do kind of like that idea that potentially that there already is a deal in place depending on who is available at three with the New England Patriots already. Because New England Patriots, they need a quarterback, but they need everything. Yeah. And you're not going to go get your franchise youthful quarterback when you have so many other pieces to build, when you want that rookie contract, when you're not ready to use that.
Their offensive line in particular is just in shambles right now. They'd be executing a rookie quarterback if they brought him in, and they're not doing – didn't Jacoby Brissett re-sign with them?
Yes.
Kind of be their bridge quarterback.
And he's
good luck to you, sir.
Yeah.
Good luck to you.
But so I'm thinking May at three if they move up. But if they, and I also see a very, very true scenario where they don't get to move up. Now, I think that, like you said, Manny, they need to do everything they can to move up. But I see that not being also a possibility with the demand and with everybody knows what we have and how desperately we need one. There's going to be a high price for that. And I could see them sticking back, taking 11 and 23 and going with your guy.
I wonder who the Patriots guy is at quarterback.
I think the top three is set. I really think the top three is set. I think Caleb's going number one. I think Jaden's going number two, especially because we had a report from Diana Rossini basically saying that the Commanders are no longer taking any phone calls pretty much for anybody on number two. Yeah. I assume that's going to be Jaden Daniels.
I'm thinking like, okay, maybe if they like throw a wrench in things and go Drake May, maybe the Patriots are like, oh, no, we're going to stay and take Daniels.
You have to.
I think Drake May is going number three no matter what, whoever's going to be holding that pick. Whether the Patriots decide, you know what, maybe we want to point towards the direction of getting our franchise quarterback now, screw it. I mean, that's the quickest way to turn around a franchise, right? Getting that quarterback. So maybe the Patriots aren't worried about the roster around them, or they get a king's ransom from somebody. And granted, there are other rumors, too, about who could potentially move in the top five. The Cardinals have basically stated that they're not going to even take any trade offers until the draft actually starts or until they're actually on the clock as well. And honestly, I mean, there's so many good wide receivers for the Cardinals. I would recommend actually trading if they were in the position. But, yeah, I think pretty much the top three is set. So if the Vikings have identified Drake May as their guy, it's going to be top three. Yeah. It's going to have to be top three. And if there is this potential handshake agreement behind the scenes, great. Get ready to give up three first-round picks, probably a second-round pick on top of that, maybe a third round. Maybe you could negotiate that, but that is probably going to be the price that it's going to cost the Vikings, considering we have the Giants now linked a ton. Other quarterback-needy teams, like Manny mentioned, like the Broncos. I know the Raiders kind of haven't been in the mix of quarterback stuff lately, but I can't count them out as well. And I even saw a rumor about Michael Penix being linked to the Falcons. For some reason, I think that is just reckless speculation of all reckless speculation.
That is the smokescreen of all smokescreens right there.
I don't know. Speaking of the Falcons,
let's bring this up.
Is anybody, are you mad? Are we okay with the fact that now the NFL is like, no, we're not going to get this done by the draft?
I don't see why it couldn't have been resolved beforehand.
That's BS, man.
You did it
last year. You got it done in time.
I don't know.
What do you think, man? Yeah. What do you think, Artis?
Yeah. I mean, I haven't looked too deep. I know the Eagles are also involved.
I was about to say, they're in the meat grinder, too, for Saquon.
No comment. I'm just like, because I didn't know that piece of information that you just shared. I thought they were going to do it right before and maybe.
They've done it before.
Okay. I thought I saw a report like from some type of Eagles fan page I follow that they were going to come down on that beef either tonight or early tomorrow.
I would love that. Not for you.
For Philly, though. Yeah. I didn't know anything about Atlanta, so that's new information to me.
I know you're
But I agree. If that's the case, it is smart to have it handled before the draft. Yeah. But what it also tells me is like, what's taking y'all so like? What other stone could you now flip?
Maybe that's
more
just it. Maybe they're just still performing an investigation, and still there's more rocks to be unturned with all this. I don't know. I mean, this was one of the most blatant forms of tampering I've ever seen in terms of a free agent. You had Kyle Pitts. You had the trainer. You had Kirk admitting to pretty much all of it in the introductory press conference. Yeah. I'm not going to sit here and like pretend I'm like super like disappointed that this didn't result in any draft compensation for the Vikings, but I just hope down the line potentially we could get something for it, or at least something is stripped away from Atlanta. They should at least have a pick stripped away. It doesn't necessarily have to go to the Vikings, but I mean, this is just so clear cut and
just a little convenient. I don't know. What do you think, Manny?
Yeah,
I have just kind of long saw this whole thing as kind of a nothing burger, just because it's not because I didn't think that the Falcons did any sort of tampering. I just never really felt like anything substantial was going to come from it. Like, it's not like, you know, I know there were like rumors of like, well, you know, what if they swapped first round picks and give the Vikings the 8th pick and moved Atlanta back to 11. Saw stuff like that. Like, I just, to me, it was like, unless something like that was going to happen, which from the very beginning, I never got the sense that something like that was going to happen. To me, it just wasn't that big of a deal. It just kind of felt like if anything happens, to Jason's point, like the Falcons were going to get stripped of like maybe like a third round pick or something. Yeah. Yeah. It might not have even been a third round pick in this year's draft. It might be like the 2025 draft or something like that. And at that point, that really has nothing to do with the Vikings. It doesn't impact the Vikings whatsoever. So it's like, why should we give a damn? You know?
Yeah, good point. I get you there. I feel that. That makes sense. I just thought that, like, I don't know. I was just, the fact that they even had to report on it yesterday, I'm like, why? Well, if there's nothing here, why are we even reporting about it?
Well, no, there were some pretty prominent, you know, Vikings media members that were even throwing out the speculation that Atlanta would forfeit number 8 to us as a result of this, which would have been
I think
nuts.
That's just
could you imagine though? I know, but how could you guys imagine how much that would have changed things? How much would it have changed this episode, how much it would have changed our approach, and just how much it would have benefited the Vikings, because they probably would not have had to give up a ton of draft capital to move up if they would have gotten that pick. But I think it ultimately was just a little wishful thinking.
Yeah.
And you know, who knows? Like you guys said, maybe we'll get something down the road. Again, I just want at least Atlanta to, you know, just get knocked for something. We don't have to get anything returned. We just want Atlanta to get knocked for something.
But not Philly. Not Philly.
They're good.
Eagles fly.
Maybe a little.
They're good. No tampering.
Weren't you guys involved with one last year, too?
I don't think so.
The Arizona Philly thing? No, with the coach? Am I wrong?
Artis has a short memory.
Yeah, you got last year. 2 years in a row, you guys are in the same predicament.
Is it warm in here? Is this collar tight? Eagles lie.
This is about the Vikings right now. This is Minnesota. They're going to kill me in the comments. I forgot this guy's an Eagles fan.
Sorry.
Okay, guys. We've come through it. We've gone through the reckless speculation. I think we've gotten a little bit of a general vibe of who we're all kind of leaning towards, of who, you know, our individual preference would be for the Vikings to draft. So let's all go around the room here. Let's first of all say, all right, who is definitively our guy out of any of the quarterbacks available? And sure, go ahead and include Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels if you want. I'm not going to do that. But let's see here who your guy is, and then we'll go around the room again and see who we all think the Vikings will actually take. Just because we have our guy doesn't necessarily mean that the Vikings will actually take that player. So let's see. Boop, 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 boop. Artis, why don't we start with you? I did a little spinny wheel right there.
Like Michael Penix is my guy.
Michael Penix is your
Michael
guy.
Michael Penix is okay. My guy.
You've been with him from day one.
Yep.
I like you for
He's
that.
My
I appreciate
guy.
That. Okay.
He's my guy.
Okay. Grant, who's your guy?
Drake May.
Drake May.
Yeah.
Drake May. Manny, how about you?
Yeah, I'm with Grant. Drake May is my guy. I like the makeup, the physical tools are there. I think he fits Kevin O'Connell's system the best out of all of these guys. You know, maybe Maybe Caleb Williams is kind of an exception. I mean, I just don't even like really include Caleb Williams in these conversations because we know he's it's just he's going to Chicago. Like, it's just a foregone conclusion. But yeah, Drake May is my guy. I know there are flaws there, but I think, you know, the overall physical tools seem like the best fit for the Vikings going forward. Yeah. And so I think that makes the most sense for me.
All right, I'm unfortunately going to have to steal Grant and Manny's takes because I am also all in on Drake May. It's like going to be May. I'm sorry I had to do that. Here's the thing. He's the youngest quarterback out of the group. That appeals to me a little bit, especially because we're dealing with maybe some older, longer-in-the-tooth quarterbacks like the Bo Nixes, like the Michael Penixes, and obviously they had some eligibility years and extra years to be able to cash in on that in college. Obviously you can look at the numbers with Drake May and you saw pretty, not a massive statistical decline, but just something that was noticeable.
But his team changed dramatically from last year to the year before.
His coordinator did too.
Yeah, his coordinator, exactly. The line. Yeah.
Right.
Sorry.
And so what that resulted in was about a 10 point drop in his QBR for the most part, right? You know, okay, a little sophomore slump, it happens. Well, you know who else had about that same amount of QBR drop in their sophomore season as well? C.J. Stroud.
Look at that comparison.
Now, granted, that doesn't mean that Drake May is the next C.J. Stroud. But for anybody worried about the numbers with Drake May, I just got to tell you, look at C.J. Stroud and you look at the success and he's had in the NFL. Kind of a very similar situation. Now, C.J. Stroud had a lot of other weapons. He threw over 40 touchdowns. He had better seasons, ultimately, than Drake May. But, again, I'm just trying to, you know, calm down that just the sophomore slumping thing with Drake May. I'm kind of done with
that. I like that.
He offers the most tools, I think, that the Vikings that will benefit them. He reminds me the most of Josh Allen, and for whatever reason, Josh Allen is kind of just the prototypical quarterback I'm always looking for in a draft, minus maybe the turnover issues, granted. So Drake May really is my guy. Grant, I mean, for the Vikings, though, it might be an issue is completion percentage. I know he doesn't necessarily is not the most accurate out of this group, but I just think with all the steam that we've heard the last couple of days with Adam Schefter talking about the Vikings going to get in the top three, with Schrager talking about Drake May as well, I just think that with maybe some of the leaks and some of the information that's got on out of TCO Performance Center down in Eagan, I'm just seeing the wind blowing the sails towards the direction of Drake May, and that's personally where I also want the Vikings to go. I just think he offers the most upside for the team. Close second, though, J.J. McCarthy. I really had to, like, kind of weigh this whole thing out because I really think J.J. is going to be a good pro. I really do. I mean, having Harbaugh as his coach for those 3 years, I think is so beneficial. Working in a pro-style system pretty much in college right away, I think he is going to have maybe the easiest transition out of all of these quarterbacks in terms of playing, like, right away.
Very good play action.
But anyway.
Great at play action, which we're good at.
Yeah, so that's who we want. That's who we want in our hearts and in our minds. But do the Minnesota Vikings agree with us? Let's go around the room again, starting with Artis. Artis, Michael Penix is your guy, but did the Minnesota Vikings agree with you? Who do you think the Vikings are most interested in?
I think it's Drake May. I think if you move up, you take Drake May. Mm-hmm. Plain and simple. I think that's the move. I think in the weird world where Daniels drops right there, that would also be lovely. I don't think it'll happen, but if that happened, oh my gosh, that would be insane.
Yeah.
Because I don't care what anyone says. The Commanders are a wild card to me. You just don't, you never know what the Commanders. But I think it's Drake May.
Okay. Grant?
You're asking me who the Vikings feel is their main focus? Because the last one was who I feel.
Who you feel? No. Now, who do you think they feel?
Oh, I'm kind of with you there. I think it has to be, I mean, with the hiring of the coach, with like what Manny said, with how well he'd fit into our system, I'm actually going to change my – I think the Vikings are actually a little bit more – oh, this is going to sound weird because I've been so anti-JJ. But McCarthy, the way he does so well with the play action and the way that Harbaugh has run that offense, it's very similar to what we see. And I just
– you think their guy is JJ?
I think their guy might be JJ. That sounds good.
He's a close second for me. As far as guys, I think they might target.
Yeah, close second. So I'm going to just switch it up so we're not going to all go Drake May here. I'm going to say J.J. McCarthy.
All right, yeah. Manny?
I'm going to stick with – I think Drake May is the number one guy on their list. I do think that they like J.J. McCarthy. I think they like Jaden Daniels. I think they like Michael Penix and Bo Nix too. I think they like, I think Kevin O'Connell likes all of these guys.
Yeah.
I do. Yeah. I do because I think when you look at the way everything has kind of played out for the Vikings over the last couple of years since Gracie Adolfo-Mensah took over as the GM and Kevin O'Connell took over as the head coach, I think this particular draft class with these quarterbacks, I think they were targeting this particular draft class. And I think because they knew that this class was going to have a lot of quarterbacks that were going to be worthy of being taken in the first round, and many of them taken in the first half of the first round. So I think they are intrigued by all of these guys. I do think Drake May is number one on their board. You know, outside of, again, we're not including Caleb Williams in this conversation. So I think Drake May is number one for them. I think J.J. McCarthy could be number two, and maybe Jaden Daniels is number three for them. But I think if they're in a situation where if they feel like they can get Drake May, they're going to – they have, to Grant's point, I think they have a deal in place, a package in place that they're ready to offer the Patriots.
Yep.
If Drake May is going to be available there at three. And I think they're waiting to see what Washington does at two. If Washington takes Jaden Daniels and Drake May is there at three, then I think Kwesi is on the phone with Elliot Wolf and saying, this is what we're going to give you. This is what we're offering. And it's Elliot Wolf. It's up to him to decide, like, if he wants to take that or not. And if he wants to, you know, stand pat at three, maybe he takes Drake May or J.J. McCarthy. And then the Vikings are stuck at 11 and they're going to have to take one of like Bo Nix or Michael Penix or something like that. But I think they're going to find a guy, and I think they're going to be ultimately happy for him and happy with him. And I think with the infrastructure that they have set up with these receivers, an offensive minded head coach who played the position himself, with some cap flexibility coming up in 2025, a lot of cap flexibility coming up in 2025. I think this is setting up really nicely for them to just kind of plug in any quarterback they want into this infrastructure. And you've got Sam Darnold too to start right away. So you're not pressured in starting whoever it is right away in week one in 2024. So I think they're set up good. I think they're going to come out of this with a quarterback, but you know, I'm giving a very, very long-winded answer here. I do think Drake May is the number one guy on their board.
It's good. Yeah, I'm with you.
We're here to listen to Manny Hill talk anyway, right. So the longer the answers, the better. Please.
Deep voice, baby.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. Right.
Guys, I remember listening to Manny in college. Oh, seriously.
Manny,
like, not to make you feel old, Manny.
Remember
but...
the first time I met you, Manny? I came up and I was like, the first time I came here, I started working at KS95, and I'm like, I just met you, and I'm like, I... listen to you when you used to be with Royce all the time, man. You are a hero to us, buddy.
And more importantly, a founding father of the Score North Taxi Squad. Most importantly,
right. Oh
man, if only AJ were here, we'd literally have the entire band back together. My goodness, that's AJ's busy interviewing Bill Guerin on Judd's Hockey Show. Look at him go, just
that's
wearing
awesome.
The big breeches
big time,
now.
Man.
AJ Frederickson, I know. Look at him,
nice,
fantastic. Okay, so it's my turn, right?
Yeah,
all right,
you.
So my heart wants Drake May. But what I'm worried about is that the Vikings are going to get outbid here. We all think the Vikings are pretty desperate to move up. I think maybe there is one team that might be just a little bit more desperate. So unless really this handshake agreement with the Patriots is like behind the scenes that definitive and we're just waiting for like draft day to announce it, I'm just going to pretend that scenario is just unlikely at the moment. And I just think there might be another desperate team that could hop into that three spot. I mean, Elliot Wolf basically even said, I saw the quote, I think a former Twin Cities reporter now for The Athletic, Chad Graff, got the quote saying, "We are open for business," pretty much. So, you know, the Vikings may have a handshake agreement right now, but somebody could get on the phone with the Patriots and say, "Hey, okay, tell us what the Vikings are offering. Here's what we'll offer, just even a little bit more." So I'm going to predict that the Vikings will not end up getting into the top three. I'm going to predict that they will not get Drake May, but I still predict we are going to trade up into the top six, potentially maybe with the Cardinals or the LA Chargers, to select J.J. McCarthy.
Huh.
I am digging the completion percentage by this guy. I'm digging the pro-style offense that he basically ran pretty much all 3 years in Michigan, despite not playing a ton his freshman year, but he still got some reps in. And again, KOC loves accurate passers.
Yeah.
And I believe McCarthy has a decent deep ball accuracy as well. Probably needs to grow that out a little bit. But when you got JJ and you got Jordan Addison, guess what? That deep ball accuracy is going to go up just with those two guys by default. JJ McCarthy was pretty much the leader in the clubhouse in terms of odds on favorite to be the next Vikings quarterback. I don't know what the current odds are now. I don't know if that is swung to the favor of any other particular quarterback, maybe Drake May. But I'm going back to kind of the original OG, the guy that kind of all the Vikings fans got lost in his eyes kind of thing. And that was J.J. McCarthy. I know Thor Nystrom is going to be very, very happy with the fact that I'm saying all this because he's been backing J.J. McCarthy pretty much from the beginning. Now, we've had some reports, too, that maybe Harbaugh might actually try to maybe, you know, get in the way of maybe the Vikings or maybe kind of dictate how much, like, the Chargers may want to, you know, negotiate with them. And I don't know if that's Harbaugh just being a little, you know, bitter that the Vikings didn't hire him as their head coach a couple of years ago, or maybe Harbaugh trying to manipulate the system to get his guy, J.J. McCarthy, into a spot where Harbaugh actually think he's going to thrive and succeed. That's not necessarily the L.A. Chargers. So I want Drake May, gentlemen, but I am saying that we are going to go get J.J. McCarthy, not getting into that top three, but getting into the top six for sure. So yeah, no. Just my 2 cents.
My question to you is maybe or Manny or Artis, being that the Giants are at 6 and Titans are at 7. Now I know the Giants just paid Daniel Jones and who's the gentleman that they drafted last year? The Titans.
Will Levis.
Yeah, and Will was mediocre last year.
He showed a little promise.
Promise, yeah. But I wouldn't say great, but wasn't that bad.
Right, his team was bad.
With the money that they gave Daniel Jones and the already drafting the young quarterback they have, do you see any of those two teams interrupting our situation?
I think the Titans are desperate for O-line help. And there's that Notre Dame that was a Joe Alt or something. The tackle guy. I've seen him. I don't know.
I think Alt is from here.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Yeah.
I've seen him mocked a ton to the Titans. So I don't think the Titans are ready to give up on Will Levis.
Okay.
I think they're definitely going to go in next year as his starting quarterback, and they're going to be confident in that decision. Yeah. As the year goes on, I don't know. We'll see. But it's kind of maybe similar to like the Falcons being linked to Michael Penix. It might just be a little premature based off those current quarterback situations to link anybody in this draft. But, if Will Levis has a bad year, maybe some of the Titans need to consider going into next year.
And so, Joel Alt went to Tutino.
Tutino, nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
I thought he was a local kid. Yeah.
Very nice.
Giants, maybe.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking, dude.
Maybe.
I think they're going to be a sneaky little, because like, just Daniel that's Jones a, is a bust.
I know, but do they want to Russell Wilson themselves already?
I don't know.
Is there any chance sliver of promise Daniel Jones still has left where they're not willing to completely Parisian suitor themselves?
Without Saquon, he's going to have a hard time.
Mm-hmm.
That's true.
He's going to have a hard time.
There's that, and Brian Daboll going to be in the hot seat this year?
Probably.
This guy was coach of the year in 2022. He comes in a wild card round in U.S. Bank Stadium and beats the Vikings.
And then
Daniel Jones got hurt last year, and everything just kind of fell apart for them. I don't think Daniel Jones is good at all, and I thought it was ridiculous for them to pay him in the first place. Right. They only paid him because of what he did against the Vikings in the playoffs.
Seriously.
They seem to forget what happened the very next week against Artis's Eagles in the playoffs. That just went out of sight, out of mind for them. but they use the Vikings game as a reason to pay him $40+ million a year.
Yeah, Daniel Jones should do like a Bonnie Bonilla day for Ed Donatell and just give Ed Donatell like $500,000 once a year for that payday that he allowed him. Ed Donatell Day. We can celebrate it. It'd be great. Pay that man. He got paid. Guys, we talked about all the links about the Giants potentially moving up now all of a sudden over the last week. So the steam is real. And, man, if you're Daniel Jones, that's just got to be a confidence killer right there to see all this going on. But maybe it's just a smokescreen.
At least he is paid.
Great point.
Maybe the Giants feel like they want to get Daniel Jones another weapon, another receiver. This is a very receiver-heavy draft. I think the Giants could always – they've got the one good offensive lineman. They could probably use more help on the offensive line. So who knows? The Giants are a wild card here, though. But if you're the Vikings and you're going to miss out on Drake May and you really like J.J. McCarthy, you might have to give the Chargers a call, because I think the Cardinals are going to stay put at four, which I think they should stay put at four and just take Marvin Harrison Jr. and not look back.
Sell those jerseys. We all want it. They know it.
Although I did see a report that I think of who's the Colts owner, Jim Irsay. I think he maybe even said, like, hey, maybe the Colts could maybe go after Marvin Harrison Jr. and get those 88 jerseys out, folks. That would actually be so cool.
That
if
would
he went back to the Colts and he wore 88 like his dad, that would be actually super duper sick. But then the expectations would be through
pressure
the roof.
Would be really high.
And I don't know if I'd want
to
deal with
that. I think he could live. I think Marvin Harrison Jr. could live up to his dad's expectations.
I was going
to
say.
But doing
it in the same place that your dad did it, though, that wouldn't be easy. But best of luck to all the NFL draftees that are going to be selected over the next couple of days. You're literally going to be making memories. Dreams are coming true. Congratulations to all you guys. Congratulations to all the undrafted free agents that are going to be happening as well. The draft is finally here, and the Minnesota Vikings and the rest of the NFL is finally on the clock. But the clock may be ticking, gentlemen, on the Phoenix Suns because Wait, what's going on?
Breaking news with
Breaking
the Minnesota
news.
Timberwolves.
Dang it, right in my transition. What's
I'm
going
sorry.
On?
I'm sorry. Naz Reid, sixth man of the year.
Oh!
Just voted sixth man of the year. My God.
Get the towels out, everybody.
My buddy
Naz Reid.
My buddy just texted me while we're doing the show. He's like, Naz Reid, two words.
There we go.
And I looked, and it's just, this was 2 hours ago. My apologies.
Oh, okay. So that wasn't breaking.
Still breaking.
Still breaking here.
Either way, let's transition into the Timberwolves. Gentlemen, an unprecedented 2-0 advantage for your Timberwolves over the Phoenix Suns in the first round of the NBA playoffs. Personally, I didn't see it coming. I don't think a lot of other people saw it coming, too. But it was just an absolute delight to see Anthony Edwards go to work in that third quarter game two, and then to see the clamps put on by Jane McDaniels all over game. Oh, wait, did I say game one? Wait, Anthony Edwards, game one, Jane Daniels, game two. I'm just excited. It's a wonderful time in Minnesota sports, and I'm all amped up. But, gentlemen, this is, like I said, not something I expected. I thought the Phoenix Suns not only were going to put up a really tough fight against the Timberwolves, but they were where are they? I'm wondering where the Phoenix Suns are, honest to goodness. We've had a couple guys show up, but other than that, it has just kind of been kind of a no-show. I expected tougher games, but I'm also in a position where I'm a Timberwolves fan, and I have no idea what to do with this 2-0 lead. It's unprecedented territory, but it is awesome. And do you guys feel any inklings about just where Game 3 is going to go? Do you think this momentum is going to carry, or do you think that the Wolves have only done what the cliche is? They've held serve, and that the true series doesn't start until a road team wins a game. But how are we feeling about this 2-0 advantage, fellas?
Manny, I got to hear from you.
Yeah,
I gotta hear
Manny
from you,
always
man.
Gets the first cut.
I'm itching for the Timberwolves takes from
Manny. Maybe a series ends as soon as a road team wins a game, because if the Wolves win game three on Friday, this thing is over.
Yep.
This thing is over. And I'm already... And I don't want to get too ahead of myself, but I'm already kind of leaning towards this thing being over, because the Wolves, the thing that I think the Wolves have going for them is their defense.
Yes.
This is this is a team that has a defense and plays defense well enough to go all the way to the NBA Finals. Now, they get through this series and they face the Denver Nuggets in the second round, because I think that series is over too. You know, it's going to be a challenge. You know, if they get to the next round and they have to play the champs, you know, that's going to be the big hurdle. But I think if they get past that, I think their defense is going to be strong enough to take care of the teams on the other brackets in the Western Conference, Oklahoma City and Dallas and the Clippers, whoever that might be. So this defense is so good, and they have been so good all year. They've been the number one defensive team in the league. And I think that is what they're going to hang their hat on. We know that, you know, offensively they can be a little bit inconsistent. They've got guys that are capable three-point shooters, but not always the most consistent three-point shooters. But if you get a game like what we saw on Tuesday with game two, where they're loading up on Anthony Edwards, you know, whenever we saw it for much of the first, at least the first like 2.5 quarters, they seemed to back off a little bit in the third quarter, which I don't know why Frank Vogel did that, but
right. Yeah.
But they were loading up on Ant. Every time Ant had the ball, either at the top of the key or one of the two wings, they were loading up on him, forcing him to pass the ball.
And they were causing turnovers, too, in the first quarter of game one. Four turnovers by Ant. Yep.
Yep, absolutely. And, you know, I really don't understand why Phoenix went away from it, because as soon as they went away from it, like, the Wolves seemed to really pick things up offensively. Yeah. So,
it's saying game one or game two right now?
Game one.
In game one?
Well, game two specifically, I mean, they were, you saw, like, they were trying to load up on it. Game one, it kind of felt like they were trying to put Durant on him for most of the game.
Right.
I think they saw that, especially in the third quarter, that
ain't the matchup.
It wasn't going to work. Like, that was not going to bother him. So they tried to kind of load up where they would have, you know, his primary defender on him, and then they try to cheat, you know, Devin Booker or Bradley Beal or somebody up on him to try and, you know, just to basically force him to be a distributor. Well, they forced him to do that in game two. And, you know, guys like Nikhil Alexander-Walker and Jaden McDaniels were able to hit shots.
I was just going to bring up Nikhil, my guy. Oh, I love him.
Nikhil was fantastic in game two. Jaden was just amazing in game two.
Amazing.
Jaden single-handedly in game two shut up anybody going after him about how bad he's played on offense all season long. Because he, 10 of 17 shooting, I believe, with the 25 points.
Yep. And that's the frustrating thing about him, is because you know that offensive skill is there, that mid-range game, that mid-range shot, the ability we saw multiple times from the slash of the basket and attack the rim and finish. He has that ability. He's always had that for the last couple of years. We just don't see it consistently enough. And I think ultimately that's why the Wolves sometimes can struggle on the offensive side, because they're relying so heavily on Ant and Cat to carry the offensive load. And then, you know, Conley will get good shots from Conley. And then, you know, Nikhil Alexander-Walker comes in and will hit some shots. Naz Reid, sixth man of the year, comes in and provides an offensive punch off the bench. But if they can get, if they get even like 60% of what they got offensively from Jaden McDaniels last night,
this team can go
to the NBA Finals and win an NBA championship.
And we all know we're going to get 100% of that defense every night, too, because this is the most effort I've ever seen a Timberwolves team exude. It really is. It's incredible. Mm-hmm. And there was just a switch that they hadn't flipped against the Phoenix Suns all season long that they were saving for their back pocket. And clearly that's showing up in the playoffs. Guys, Nurkic is holding his own okay. He's putting up some decent numbers, but they have no answer for the size of the Timberwolves whatsoever. And I'm sorry, Kevin Durant is not really interested in defending in the post anymore. He doesn't really go after a ton of rebounds.
Truly.
Yeah, but now, like, any rebounds he gets, it's literally just a brick that hits off the rim and just, you know, deflects towards the free throw line or something like that. I don't know how Phoenix is responding or how they're going to respond to Gobert, to Carl, to even Naz Reid. I mean, here's been the amazing thing. We had wonderful games from Naz and Nikhil in game one, but they were just kind of okay in game two.
Yeah.
Let's be real about it. Naz missed a lot of open shots. He had a couple, but it wasn't nearly as consistent as we've seen from him. And even though Nikhil Alexander-Walker put up another awesome plus-minus, he wasn't hitting a ton of the same awesome clutch shots that we were seeing
in
game two.
Yeah. Right. The defense is what we get out of him.
But my point is that we've won very different ways in these last couple games, and Phoenix has not been able to adjust to either different way that we've been attacking them on offense, and clearly they have no answer for our defense. Devin Booker.
Well, they don't have a point guard. They don't have a point guard.
Grayson Allen, their guard,
he's hurt.
He's hurt.
Yep.
He's been that's gonna
hurt
off
them
the court.
On both sides. That's gonna hurt
them
on both sides of the ball.
Yeah,
they've got Devin Booker trying to be, you know, sort of the lead guard, point guard of that offense, and that's not, you know. You can do that during a regular season when you're playing teams like Charlotte and Detroit and Toronto. Like, when you're playing bad teams, Devin Booker can cook those teams while being, you know, sort of the quasi point guard of the team.
Yeah.
But when you get to the playoffs, it's like Devin Booker is a scorer, man. Right. He needs the ball in his hand so that he can look to attack and score. And if teams start to double team on him or load up on him the way they tried to load up on Ant last night, then he can kind of be more of a facilitator. But Devin Booker's a scorer, man. He's a bucket getter. Like, that's what he should be doing, not trying to run an offense and make sure that, you know, that KD's in the right spot and Bradley Beal's in the right spot. And by the way, anytime Bradley Beal you know, I'm sounding like a Suns fan when I say this, but like anytime Bradley Beal wants to come join the party, he can. Like, okay. And the Suns gave up a point guard to get Bradley Beal. They traded away a true point guard to get him. So that's why they're in this position right now in an 0-2 hole.
And another big reason why they're in it too is they're not playing. They're playing too much one-on-one. They've had, 16 total assists for the Suns in game one, 16 assists total throughout the team, and 19 last night. That is, you're looking at, 35 assists total in two games between all your players. Everybody's playing one-on-one ball, and with this defense that this team has, you can't play one. I know that's their game, but that's how they play. It just ain't working. It ain't working with us.
Go ahead.
No, you're good. And I feel like, and with Rudy Gobert, we were talking about that. He's had an obviously great year, and I think that partially is because, and I'm going to steal this take from someone, I can't remember who said it, but I was listening to another, analyst talk, and they were talking about how the trust that Rudy Gobert has now for the protection of the basket. In Utah, that man didn't have anything. Yeah. He had nobody to back him up. He didn't trust anybody to do anything. Mm-hmm. And now he's got, Carl, who, we all know who Carl is. But he's got Nas. He's got, Daniels to help him the rim, and he can go out and be a presence in the court.
And most importantly, he's got help on the perimeter. That's the biggest thing. He's got a ton of help.
He had nothing remotely close to that in Utah. You guys remember when they made this trade 2 years ago.
That was my
concern of like, okay, well, what is this going to look like when they get to the playoffs and teams start playing small and they try to take Rudy out of the game? Like, how is this going to work? But then you go back and look at a lot of those games that Utah fell short in. Rudy was let down, man. Those guys, Donovan Mitchell, for as great an offensive player as he is, he's not the world's greatest defender. And he's surrounded by really good defensive players in Cleveland. And I think that's why it's kind of working for them. Mm-hmm. Guys like Joe Ingles and Jordan Clarkson and Bogdan Bogdanovich I forget which Bogdanovich it was that was in Utah. I forget the first name, but like those guys were not good defenders. They were not good defenders at all. And so much of why Rudy was taken out of those games or sort of played off the floor in those games is because when he was out there, he was spending so much time and exerting so much energy trying to clean up the screw ups of his perimeter defenders surrounding him. He doesn't have that problem with this team.
Awesome.
This is the easiest mop up duty the man has ever had. Honestly,
yeah, so he can just kind of sit down in the paint and just cook and just wait for and just clean up what he needs to, but he doesn't have to clean up much. And he can, and now they've got him. He's out on the perimeter guarding like KD and guys in switches situations.
Yeah. He's leaving the basket.
For a big man, that footwork though that he had on Kevin Durant in particular to box him into the corner in game one was just elite defense. As much as I'm gushing over Jaden McDaniels right now, I can't get over what Rudy Gobert is providing this team. Phoenix can get absolutely nothing in the paint, and when they do, they're getting just hit and bruised and beaten, and the refs have swallowed their whistles just a little bit here in the playoffs.
I like it too. That's what you need against a team that's a jump shooting team, because you got to be physical with those guys. Got to be physical, so anytime you can get in their chest and kind of move them around how you want to move them around, That's what you'd hope for. The refs aren't calling those ticky-tack fouls in the playoffs. That is what you need.
So are you guys expecting any kind of letdown at all in Game 3? You think Phoenix might try to hold serve here, get the momentum of the crowd back, get the shooting numbers back again? I still expect them to start heating up a little bit offensively.
I think they're going to lose Game 3. I'm not going to lie.
The Wolves or the Suns?
The Wolves.
Yeah. I could definitely see Phoenix winning Game 3.
Me too.
Yeah.
And then we would win it.
Wouldn't surprise me at all.
Yeah. I think they lose game happens. I think they lose game three and win game four.
And five.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, though, I saw the Wolves in four chance in and outside of Target Center after game two, man. It was a lot of fun.
Let's enjoy 2-0, boys.
I know, but they're just doing the meme. Suns in four. I get it. Anytime you're playing the Phoenix Suns now, you have to bring up that meme of the guy in the NBA finals.
Yes, I forgot about that.
Yeah, that's what it's from. Yeah.
Speaking of that, bringing it up, we have to bring up the most obnoxious thing I've ever heard. And I don't know if anybody heard this watching TV, but the overrated chant that our fans were chanting at Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
And then that man comes out and busts every single shot except for one free throw and puts 31 points down on him. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. Like that. No. I love you. And I'm a big Minnesota fan. I love Minnesota fans, but like, let's just
leave KD. Let's not play around with that. Does Kevin Durant, even at age 35, is still him?
Overrated. Yes. Come on now. I was like, boys, like you make that this made us look like a very naive fan base.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I didn't like it. And I was like, and I don't also appreciate, which I know people do, but the, you know, you suck refs or all the chants. I'm like,
kids are at the game. Don't do that.
That's not going to help us out come down the stretch. But they're
surprised you don't like that, Grant.
I know. Normally, right now, I'm
because I can see you being one of the main guys.
I am. But in this situation, I want to approach this team, as we all talked about, this is something special right now.
Yes.
And I just don't want to mess with the flow of things. I don't need to add any other variables that can mess with the flow. We don't need to mess with KD's head because KD can take things over. We don't need the refs getting mad at us right now because they've been nice and loose with the whistle with our defense because we're a strong defensive team that tends to poke and chat. You know, like I just leave the refs out of it during the playoffs because I don't want them getting biased. I'm not saying that they are.
No.
I'm not doing the Rudy Gobert.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, let's just keep them.
Not unless the Lakers are playing the Nuggets. Then they're a little bit biased.
All right. Anyway.
It's pretty blatant.
I'm very interested in seeing, though, the adjustments that Phoenix makes. I'm sitting there, like, watching the game, like, what could they do to really
make a trade?
Manny kind of alluded to it earlier because he was like, I don't know why they came out of that defense of loading up on Ant. I think the Wolves are shooting them out of that defense. I think I think they're starting to become a little bit nervous about, okay, these guys getting open looks and they're knocking them down. They did it game one and game two. Anthony Edwards took over the third quarter of game one, but leading up into that moment, the team was already cooking and he just added fuel to the fire. And then game one, I mean, 15 points, 3 of 12 from the field. Like, the team, you know, really Mike Conley and Rudy Gobert at a certain point kind of carried the load.
Yes.
And then when the game was kind of teetering in the third, they put that five out lineup out there with five shooters and really made things tough as well. So I think one of their adjustments is going to be trying to make Ant beat them. I think ultimately they're going to I think they're going to come out of that defense. I think it's going to get to a point where they don't have any choice because now the Wolves have seen it not only in the playoffs, they saw it in the regular season too.
Yeah.
So they know how it looks. They know what you want to do. You can't even disguise that defense. I think they're going to come out of it and kind of play – Ant like how they play Jokic, where it's like, you know what? We're gonna let Ant be Ant. Now we're gonna throw different bodies at him. We're gonna throw, you know, KD and Bradley Beal and all these different guys at him. Try to throw him off here and there, but we're gonna let him go for his 30. We're gonna stay home on all of these shooters though. Because the worst thing you could do is let these shooters around you get hot and Ant gets, because he can get a shot whenever he wants it.
Yeah.
Everybody, you don't want everybody cooking. If it's just Ant, you could slow the team down. But if everybody's cooking, it's tough. I also think that Frank Vogel is going to make it his mission to get Devin Booker more involved. And I think he's going to make it his mission to get Jaden McDaniels off Devin Booker. I think they're going to probably try to like pinpoint a matchup, few matchups on the floor. Mike Conley's over there. Whoever Mike Conley's guarding, let's get a screen over here, try to get a switch. Or, you know,
expose some mismatch.
I was going to say, he's
out. Rudy Gobert, and they tried this in game two, but Book was just off. Mm-hmm. But Rudy, come over here. Let's get a screen. Let's get this switch. And Rudy's been playing great on the outside. But in Phoenix, against Book, if he's got it going, that's the matchup that Phoenix would want. So that's why I ultimately think they'll win game three, because I think they'll come very desperate. I think they'll come very hungry. I think they'll come with a little bit more energy.
Yep.
I think their role players obviously play better as well on the road. So I think they'll get game three, get the Wolves back to the drawing board. All right, this is the adjustments that they made. Let's revamp our adjustments. And then I think they come back and steal game.
I like that.
Yeah, if Phoenix is smart, they should try to get Jaden McDaniels in the same kind of foul trouble that they got Kat into game two.
See,
go ahead, Manny.
Well, I was going to say, I'm glad you brought up Kat, because that's the guy that I'm looking at for, like, if the Wolves are going to, like, win game three and put this thing away, essentially put this thing away and go up 3-0, I think it's going to take, obviously, Ant, you know, with the way Artis is saying things of how they're going to play Ant, but I think Kat needs to have a big game.
Yeah,
big game offensively.
He's due for
and
one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he's due for one, and you know, he got in the foul trouble last night, and you know, Chris Finch, and I know a lot of people were getting on Chris Finch for leaving him in there in the first quarter,
he's
allowing him to pick up that third.
Yeah,
he does that a lot. But here's the thing.
Trying to build that trust.
Yeah, and here's the thing. In Chris Finch's defense, Kat's got to get rid of the dumb ticky-tack fouls.
Yep.
The moving screen, the first foul he got called for, that stupid moving screen. Mm-hmm. He's got to cut that stuff out. And then the third foul that he got, where he was trying to crash the boards and like landed on hip check Devin Booker in the air and then landed on him and got called for the third foul. Yeah. Like, that's the kind of stuff where it's like, all right, Cat,
even worse.
Know your spots here.
Remember his fourth foul against Durant when he tried to pickpocket Durant at the top of the key and just blatantly ran into him? Like, you don't need to do that. Let your defenders behind you take him. Don't make that play. That was a horrible attempt. I mean, I know you want to try to make that steal and get the dunk.
It's good aggressiveness. It's just misplaced.
But that was such a bad foul. You're right. Yeah. And that's a great point.
And Cat, every year that Cat's been in the playoffs, which is this is the fourth time that he's been in the playoffs now in his career, it's always been like the dumb foul or dumb fouls that gets him in trouble and takes him off his rhythm, and why we see so many times where it's like, we're like, Cat's coming up small in the playoffs again. Like, that's the kind of stuff that he's got to avoid so that he can stay on the floor, get himself in a good rhythm, and really give this team a really good chance to win and take some pressure off of Ant so that Ant might not need to score 35 points for this team to win a game.
And it's crazy. One of our best players isn't playing that great right now, and we're still up 2-0 on the series, and these victories have been
everybody keeps stepping
close.
Up.
This is great.
And the thing about it is, like, last game he didn't play great from a scoring output, but from a facilitating output, it's just like making the right play. He made the right plays all night long.
Yeah, he had eight assists last night.
And they won with that loading up defense. Because Ant is young, he's 22. They want him to force it. They want him to go in there and just jack up shots or attack the basket and turn the ball over. And I will say shocked that he really isn't playing. Like, he's okay with, I got 15 or I got 10 by the end of the third quarter.
He doesn't care about the box score.
And then he can pick his spots.
He's doing a great job of picking his spots. An amazing job of picking his spots. So, I mean, that's where I'm like, I think that they're going to have no choice but to come out of that defense. And then it's barbecue chicken with whoever's trying to guard him one-on-one, which will be fun. But it may work best for Phoenix to do it that way because he may be the only one in rhythm at that point.
Never know. Awesome. Gentlemen, so much to dive into with the Minnesota Timberwolves.
It's just
we're in unprecedented territory with this 2-0 lead. We had a 2-0 lead in 2003-2004, right, on our way to the Western Conference. Then we
first round against Denver, yeah.
Denver,
Only the second time they've ever had a 2-0 series lead. Ever.
Wow.
Unbelievable.
35 years.
It was against, Denver, and that was what, first round? Was that the first round?
First round. That was the 1-8 matchup in the first round.
Unbelievable. Yep. Have we ever been up 3-0? Ever?
No. Because Denver, the Nuggets won game three of that series, and then the Wolves won a really tight game four. Game four, I'll never forget because that was the start of why, like, John Barry became, like, public enemy number one in Minnesota because he was, like, at the end of game four, him and Latrell Sprewell were, like, jawing at each other because the Wolves had won this very, like, really close,
intense,
grinded out, intense game. And you see at the end, like, KG had, like, took the ball and, like, tossed it up in the air after the Nuggets missed the final shot. And then they just show, like, Sprewell and John Barry, who wasn't even, like, John Barry was, like, still wearing his warm-up. I don't even think he had been in the game.
He's
Latrell Sprewell.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, like, game five rolls around, and John Barry is, like, every time he touches the ball, like, the Wolves fans are, like, booing him at Target Center. It's hilarious.
Yeah. Like when Jimmy Butler comes to town. Exactly.
Yeah.
So,
but he was right.
Right.
Jimmy Butler was right.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah, and I'll say this in final closing as we got to start wrapping up the show because we're approaching an hour. It is a damn shame that Kevin Garnett can't be in attendance for these games at Target Center it's a shame because
but he's given some nice tweets out. He did a nice
it stinks when you because there were so many celebrities and socialites at the last couple of games getting on the Jumbotron. Justin Jefferson,
we all know why.
I mean, I know it's the whole Glenn Taylor situation, the whole Flip Saunders thing after Flip passed away. We all know the story, but it's just a shame that some of them
before that it wasn't it. I mean, from and Manny, did you guys watch the documentary, Kevin Garnett's doc on Showtime? Did you guys see that?
I haven't seen it.
I haven't watched it yet. No.
Oh, you guys haven't seen that?
No,
that came out.
I've been wanting to. I just haven't gotten
it's
around
so
to
good.
It yet.
I mean, it's quite a bit of, you know, he's got quite a dirty mouth, which I love about
that's
KG.
What we
but
love.
The whole thing is a lot of swear words, but There was a whole point, and I mean, this is just me bringing up old news, but like, it actually goes back to way farther than that. It's when they did a picture with Kevin Garnett and then Glenn Taylor and Flip Saunders. They were standing up and he was sitting down below him, and that's when he felt there was a big separation as to these two guys think
we're
that they're
setting up a hierarchy.
Even though him
here.
And Flip were like this, even though Flip and him were like this, that's where the whole
it's not a good look.
Yeah, you guys need to see that documentary. Okay. It's only like
streaming?
I think it's on Showtime, I believe. It's
okay. Check it out. I might watch that.
I need to bum a password from a buddy or something to get that one.
I got you.
You do have pretty much every streaming service.
I got you.
Exactly. Okay, it's a shame that KG is choosing not to be at these games, but it sucks that these are some of the most intense games that we've ever had at Target Center, and literally the big ticket can't be there to celebrate with all the fans and everything. Because I know the second he comes back, the second he's welcome back to Target Center, it is going to be one of the most festive nights in Timberwolves history. It's going to be so great. They'll retire the number. And that's the thing. It's just I hate not seeing number 21 not in the rafters at Target Center. It is just an absolute shame. Rant.
Not going to happen until Glenn is out of the picture. It's
and they got a mediation coming up here in early May
21st.
Yeah, woohoo.
Did you see the report? And sorry to interrupt you guys. You see this thing story came out yesterday, the report that Glenn Taylor purchased 2.5% from another minority owner so that he could then jump up to 37 and
accumulate
it all. He's now majority over A-Rod and Lori because he's at 37 and they're at 36 something like that. But this came out, I mean, it's yesterday or 2 days ago, I believe it was. It might have been even that he purchased a small percentage, 2.5 or 2.9% of another minority owner to get that jump over them. It's getting dirty.
These billionaires are just slithering around.
That's a
honestly.
Report. That's a report. It's not confirmed.
I don't know. As long as it doesn't distract us from this potential run through the NBA playoffs for the Minnesota Timberwolves, that's all I care about. And I believe actually A-Rod, Lori, and Taylor were all in attendance for games 1 and 2, and I think everybody got along just fine. They sit across the court from each other, so they didn't actually bump elbows. But hey, at least they can all be in the same building together. Guys, that's going to have to wrap up Taxi Squad for the week. One of the most lively shows, I think, in our show's history, with all the speculation about what the Vikings are about to do in the NFL draft. We even forgot to talk about players that aren't quarterbacks that the Vikings could potentially take. I like the Jared Verse guy from Florida State. I like that Edresser Verse guy from Florida State.
Good,
That's my 2 cents. But guys, any final thoughts before you wrap up the program for the week? I mean, think about it. Next week, we'll know more about what the Timberwolves situation is in the playoffs. Maybe we'll have clinched a second round berth by then, but we'll also finally know who the quarterback is going to be for the Vikings. Any final thoughts from all you guys around the room?
It's the best time to be a part of Minnesota sports.
That's right, Art. It's the best time. Fun right now,
it's
man.
It's literally the best time.
It's been good.
It's pretty great.
I just think that it's kind of, and I'm not trying to be disrespectful to the other men's pro teams in town, but it's like nobody's really talking about the Wild or the Twins right now, and it's time of the year, you know, they're the ones that are being talked about the most.
And right now the Twins are they don't even let you go on the upper deck right now.
Nope, they cut off
the upper deck for April.
They did it even when Shohei was in town. when Shohei was in town. Yes. Hey, at least they've taken, I don't know what the score of the game is right now, but hey, they have at least taken 2 or 3 so far from the lowly Chicago White Sox.
Yeah.
That was a fun little walk-off win the other night. You know, Buxton hit the game-tying home run, and then Kirilloff had the go-ahead single. That was fun. That was cool. I don't think anybody went to the game with the Wolves game going on yesterday. It was a very sparse crowd at Target Field, that is for sure. But of course, this is the Taxi Squad. We will get back into Twins and Wild and other conversation of Minnesota sports, obviously, when they are relevant. But right now, obviously, the Vikings and the Timberwolves are front and center, just with everything going on with the NFL draft and the NBA playoffs. Get a howl out, baby.
Let's go.
That will wrap up Taxi Squad for the week. Thank you, everybody, for watching and listening. My name is Jason Stormer. That's Artis Woods. That's Grant Wengstern. And again, Manny Hill returns to the Taxi Squad once again. Woo-hoo! Obviously, Manny, come back anytime. You're more than welcome. Just obviously your insights and your analysis are just... I can't beat it. I know I just can never be on Manny Hill's level. That is for sure. So thanks for coming on, man.
One
really appreciate
thing.
What?
Just for our listeners, if you want to watch a Kevin Garnett documentary and you don't have ESPN, according to YouTube, it's on there. It looks like you can watch it for free on YouTube.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Sweet.
So, clutch. Thank you for that.
But please check out the Score North Tech Squad on the Score North YouTube channel before you watch if you don't mind. Please. Let's get that viewership up if you don't mind. Anyway, thank you so much again for listening and watching, everybody, the Score North Taxi Squad. Catch you all next week. Take care. Bye-bye.